2009, Kartik classes in Radhakund. This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We're continuing from last year, discussing the Purva Vibhag section, Eastern section. This is about sadhana bhakti. Rupa Goswami is describing the 64 limbs of sadhana bhakti. Coming to the end of the chapter, he's been talking about the 64 limbs of devotion. And he mentioned five that are most important. They're called panchanga bhakti. Living in the holy dham, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, serving the deities, associating with sadhus, and chanting Hare Krishna. So these are the most important limbs of devotion. If one just practices these, then he can attain perfection. So after he's been describing all the limbs of devotion, then he starts repeating again the panchanga bhakti, and that's where we left off last year. A repetition. So just to review those five limbs, and we can see how much we're engaged in these activities and how much we're getting response from them. The first is Srimurti Angri Seva, Preeti. Sri Angri. Srimurti Angri Seva Preeti. To have love or attachment for serving the lotus feet of the deity. So deity seva, deity worship. Taking part, worshipping your own deity, Shalagram, Giriraj, Gauranitai, or some photographs, or going to the temple. And second is Sri Bhagavat Arta Swadho. It means swad, tasting or relishing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, in the level of an Artanivriti, it's not possible to have ruchi, Bhagavad ruchi, Nam ruchi. But at least we can hear from advanced devotees who are established in Nishcha, and hopefully ruchi, and even better, Asakti. More advanced devotees, naturally they can bring out more of the deeper teachings of the Bhagavatam, imbued with their own realizations and understanding of the tattva. Now, this is the second of the five limbs, Sri Bhagavad Arta Swadho. And third is Sajatiya Snigdha Sri Bhagavad Bhakta Sango, associating with like-minded, affectionate devotees. In general, this means if we're Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti in the 64 limbs. Again, Rupa Goswami is repeating the five limbs which we discussed, and this is how he ends the chapter. He wants us to hear about it again and understand it again and be encouraged to deeply take part in these five limbs of devotion. We can ask ourselves, how much are we involved with deity worship or offering prayers to deities or taking darshan or serving them directly or remembering them or meditating on them? And then Sajati Snigdha Sri Bhagavat Bhakta Sango, association with like-minded devotees. I mentioned that means in general. Jati means Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Snigdha means they're affectionate. But as you narrow it down more and more, you see that acharyas say that sarusanga, sarusanga, sarvashastra hoy. It means actually associating with your guru bhais. It becomes that specific. Gaudiya Vaishnavas and affectionate guru bhais, affectionate madhyams and uttams that are actually your godbrothers and godsisters. When it says sadhu-sangha, even acharya say sadhu-sangha means guru-sangha. There are so many sadhus, shiksha-gurus, diksha-gurus, but very specifically, because this is where we get the richest flavor of sneha, and where we get the strongest representation of sajati. Because even in a family, there are different ways of seeing the father. The mother may see the father in one way, and the father of your father may see your father in a different way, and your brother and sister. So we're all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We're all in the same jati. We're all aspiring for Braja Prem. Possibly many of us are in the moods of Madhurya Ras, or attracted to or interested in, or perhaps Sakya Ras. This could be our inclination or our attraction, our interest. So we want to associate with devotees like that. But our own godbrothers, they'll have the similar mood to our guru. and they'll be heartily connected with our Guru. So the commentators on these verses about Sarusanga and Sangha in general, they often narrow it down like that. Guru Bhais and Guru Bains, associate with God brothers and God sisters that are Gaudiyas and that are affectionate. This is the best, Sajatiya Snigdha. Sajatiya Snigdha Sri Bhagavad Bhakta Sangha. This is one of the five most important limbs in devotion. And Srinam Sankirtan, chanting the holy name of the Lord. And then, of course, Sri Mathura Mandale Stiti, residing in Mathura. Well, this is a small introduction to remind us of the Panchanga Bhaktis. So we're beginning with this second wave of the Eastern Ocean of Sadhana Bhakti, and this is the very end, chapter 2, verse 239, where Rupa Goswami mentions about Sri Murti. And he quotes a verse that is a famous verse about, it's a negative Prokshavad. He's talking, what he really wants to say, he's saying in a hidden way, indirectly. Smeiran bhangi traya parichatam sachi vistirna dristim vamshi nyastadara kishalayam ujvala chandrakena govindakyam haritanam yitta keshi tirto pakante ma prekshitas Tayadyari Sake Bandhu Sangeisti Ranga. He says the power of serving the deity, and in this verse he's mentioning Govinda, Govindaji, who's in Jayapur. Rupa Goswami discovered the deity of Govindaji, and he's glorifying him in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and citing him as an example of Sri Murti. He's warning his friends, Rupa Goswami, this is his own verse in Sanskrit. It's not a quotation from Puran. Many verses in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are quotations from different Puranas to explain different aspects of devotion. It's a compendium or an anthology. But then there's many verses where he's speaking himself directly in Sanskrit, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami says that, my friend, if you desire to enjoy with your friends and relatives, then don't look at Govindaji, who's wandering near Keshi Tirtha on the bank of the Yamuna. He has a slight smile on his lips. He's standing in threefold bending form with his body. His eyes are glancing everywhere in a crooked fashion. And his flute is placed on his lower red lip, looking like his lip looks like a tender leaf bud. And he's shining glorious with a peacock feather. Jiva Goswami comments that there are, he says here that in the verse he's saying, don't look. Don't look at this Govindaji. Don't see Govindaji. And Jiva Goswami is saying, he's actually saying, you must look, you should look. You look at the deity, especially Govindaji, or any deity. There's some special charm there, some magic. Because Krishna is appearing there. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata parichanaya saranam. Krishna says, I come for the devotees. Parichanaya saranam. I come to deliver the devotees. What does that mean? That he only comes to Kurukshetra and he only comes to the Pandavas? It means he's coming everywhere. He's coming wherever there's a deity. That means Krishna has come to deliver the devotees. The Murti is Krishna coming to deliver us. So when we go to the temple and take darshan, we're getting delivered. At that moment, we're liberated. What more? There's the Atma, there's the Jiva, the devotee, and he's having darshan. And there's nothing between. There's Krishna and you, and transcendental space between you. There's no billboards, there's no radio, there's no television, there's no relatives, there's no relative programs. Husband, wife, mother-in-law, cousins. There's nothing. There's no relativity there. There's no time and space there. Although it appears that Thakurji is standing under the singhasan and you're 20 feet, 30 feet away in the temple. You're thinking there, and you look at the clock. The temple has a clock on the wall. It says 9 o'clock. You say, oh, it's 9 o'clock. I better quickly have darshan so I don't miss prasadam. in the Prasadam Hall at 9 a.m., breakfast. So the clock is there, and there's 30 feet of air space between your eyes and the eyes of Govindaji or Shyam Sundar. That's wrong. There's no space there. There's no time there. That's the timeless zone. Time zone. They have time zone, Eastern time zone, Indian time zone, Greenwich, mean time. So this time zone, this timeless zone, Paravyom, a timeless zone. Because everything, all the reality that we're experiencing is existing in time and space, and it's all Maya. There's nothing eternal about our mother, about our clothing or a body or anything. But when we're with Krishna taking darshan, that's timeless. It's transcendental. If we just stay there, then we'll be delivered. As soon as we leave, then the trouble begins. As soon as we leave darshan, darshan means to be living in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Darshan means to be seeing Krishna everywhere. Darshan means to be remembering Krishna everywhere. Om tad vishno param param sada pashyanti suryo jujiva chakshur tadam tad vipraso jujivam sa sumindate vishno yat param param. The eye of Krishna is chakshur atatam. The sun is like the eye above us. In the Virata Rupa Darshan of Krishna, sun and moon are the day and night eye. We have eyes to see in the day, small pupil, and an iris. And we have eyes to see in the night, big pupil. The black part is called pupil. It opens up bigger at night. So we have night vision, day vision with our eyes. So Krishna sees us in night with his moon eye, and sees us in the day with his sun eye. Alok and Chandra, sun and moon, Mitra. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada Pashyanti. He's Pashyanti, he's manifest always above us. If we stay in darshan with the Lord, then we never fall in Maya. So Rupa Goswami is saying, listen, if you see Govindaji, Govinda Darshan, then you won't want to see your wife. You won't want to see your husband or children. You won't want to see anything lokic, anything of this world. You won't have any more interest in jada drishti, seeing the objects and hard, lifeless objects of this material world. They will disappear before the sweet darshan of Govindaji. Jiva Goswami gives a nice experience. He says that actually Rupa Goswami, by saying don't look, he's saying look. Drink deeply with it, with the cups of your eyes, that luscious darshan, satisfying darshan of Lila Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Sri Krishna Govinda. And what will happen? By experiencing the sweetness of Govindaji's form, you will consider everything else to be insignificant. 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 The word sign is there, insignificant. I-N-S-I-G-N. In means no sign. Insignificant means no sign. There'll be no sign anymore, no trace. No sign of your family, no sign of your house, no sign of your family. And everything, if something becomes insignificant, that means there's no sign anymore. You can't read it, you can't see it. There's no signboard. In sign, there's no sign. Like cinema means the mother of sin. Right? Ma means mother. Ma. Every baby says, ma, pa. Cinema. Papkamata. Is that right? Papkamata? Very interesting. Because pop means sin. Papkamata. Cinema. Insignificant. Insignificant. Ificant. So there's no sign. You won't see any trace anymore. He's saying, Rupa Goswami is saying, Govindakyam Haritanam Itta Keshi Tirtot Pakante. Specifically, he's saying, Govindatanam, the body of Govinda. Gopinath was also there, Madhava Pandit revealed Gopinath, and Advaitacharya revealed Madan Gopal, which Sanatan Goswami brought back to Vrindavan. He came from Advaitavat, he was Madan Gopal, he was left in Mathura as Madan Gopal. He wanted to come back to Vrindavan. He came with Sanat and became Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan's there. Gopinath is there. Radharaman is there. Rupa Goswami, he's not mentioning their names. He's only saying Govindaji. Govindatanam. Why? Because the principle he's talking about is Sri Murti. Sri Murti. To see the Sri Murti. This is the principle. But which Sri Murti? Shamsundara, Krishna Balaram, Radha Madhav. They're wonderful. They're very attractive and beautiful and merciful. But he's saying this form. This is Sri Murti Angri Seva, means especially the Murti of Govindaji, of all the deities. Because Rupa Goswami, in this verse, he's establishing that one of the teen Prabhus, or teen Thakur of Gaudiya Sampradaya, Madan Mohan Govindaji and Gopinath, Sambandha Videya Prayojan. You may understand the Sambandha, and you may know the goal. You may know the goal, and you may know the relationship. But unless you do something about it, it doesn't mean much. The goal is to get a degree in medicine and practice and earn an income that way. And a way to get that is to attend college and pass the exams. But I'm not going to college. So there's no Abhideya. So I know that the relationship, the basis of the relationship is surrender, Sharanagati, and Shraddha. And that God is supreme, and I am His part and parcel. And the basis of the relationship is attraction. I can't surrender to someone, and I can't have faith in someone unless I'm attracted. There must be attraction. Intellectual attraction, heart's attraction. So Madan Mohan, right now, Maya has captured me. I'm attracted to Maya, Cupid, Kandarpa, illusion. And I have faith in Maya, and I'm surrendering to Maya. So Krishna comes as the conqueror of Maya, the conqueror of Cupid, Madan Mohan, the one who puts, one who conquers Cupid, the one who conquers illusion, is Madan Mohan. Because unless he conquers Cupid, then we cannot surrender to him, and we cannot have faith in him. Because now all of our surrender and faith is in Maya. Maya personified as Cupid, lust, man, woman. So then Krishna comes as Madan Mohan to establish the Sambandha. The basis of the Sambandha, relationship with Krishna, is based on attraction. Vrasam, taste. Although it's reflected. Okay, we have a relationship. Now what? You got married, now what? Nothing. Do you work? No. Do you do anything? No. Do you make any money? No. So then how will the relationship progress? How will it develop? How you cultivate it? Not very well. Will it go anywhere? Will it expand and grow and reach some culmination or produce something auspicious or wonderful for you or the other person or the world in general? Doubtful. So we may have the Madan Mohan and Sambandha and understand Gopinath, but the most important deity for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas is the action. Cheshta. Action. Kriya. Govindaji is the Cheshta Rup Murti. He is the Murti of Seva. Seva Murti, Sevangri. That's why it says. It says, Sri, this is one of the Panchanga Bhaktis, me. Sri Murti Angri Seva Priti. We have to serve the lotus feet of the Lord with priti, love, attachment, feelings. And who's Sri Murti Angri? Govinda Angri. Govinda Angri. Govinda Charana. Govinda Charana Seva. Everywhere this principle is understood, serving of Govindaji. Jiva Goswami in his commentary explains how the Vedas give instructions or shiksha, Vedic Upadesh, in three different ways. There's three different ways to instruct. And he describes that. I have some note on that. The Vedas instruct us like a king, like a friend, and like a lover. Very interesting. Of course, someone who is a preacher, he could also learn these. Think about this. We can preach like a king, like some of our members. Very dictatorial, very authoritative. my way or the highway. So this is how the king, the three ways the Vedas instruct us like a king. What does this mean? It means that the king, he issues a royal decree. He gives it to the messenger, and the messenger runs through the town. Hiri, hiri, listen! And he opens up this little thing with the writ, the W-R-I-T, the writ, the law of the king. From henceforward, everyone will pay 50% of their income to the king. Previously, it was 40%. But from today on, it's 50%. Anyone violating the order of the king will be immediately incarcerated. And then he shuts the thing down. That's the end of the rule. And someone might say, can you open that again? I want to look at that. This is called the king's law. The king is above the law. That's an injunction. It's an order. You follow the law or else you die. Do or die. So this is injunctions. It's called Shastra Nisheda. Shastra Nisheda. The Niyam, the rules of the Shastra. Everyone, every man and woman over 8 years old must observe Ekadasi Brat. Finished. Bas. This is an injunction, royal decree, like a king. Vedas are telling. But, no, you're a human being, you must observe Ekadasi. And other functions like Janmashtami. This is rule. Ekadasi Brat. And so many other rules. Different rules for different varnas and ashrams. Ashram dharma, varna dharma. And they're all injunctions. Grihasthas have to do pancha yagya every day. Feed guests. Serve guests. Hospitality and charity and puja and yagya. There's five things. Pancha yagya. The grihasthas have to perform every day without fail. And brahmins have to do so many things. And if they do, then if they don't observe these regulations, then they get punished. They go to hell. So that's one way. So the Vedas instruct like that. And the second way is like a friend. Gentle persuasion. Convincing someone with stories, logic, and reason. So the Puranas, basically the injunctions, the Vedas instruct like a king. This is the Shrutis. Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Yajur Veda, Atharva Veda. These are Shrutis. It's like injunctions, Vedic injunctions. Rig Veda says. But the second way to instruct is like a friend. Gentle persuasion. Actually, we should do this. It would be good for you. Why don't you do it? It's a nice thing. And I'll tell you a story. Once there was this guy, and of course the guy in the story you tell will be very much like you. He was married and he had a little son and he worked for his father, but he wasn't very much into working. And then one day this thing happened and, this or that, So then he got in trouble, but then he did Ekadasi Brat and then he met this sage and then the sage helped him. So the person's hearing a nice story, and as he hears the story, he says, wait a minute, that sounds like me. Maybe I should do Ekadasi Brat, So this is the Puranas. The Puranas are the ancient histories. They're told in story form. Skanda Puran, Padma Puran, so many stories about people that did something wrong and then got inspired to do something right and got some good benefits. Well, this is the gentle, friendly way to instruct. This would be good for you if you do like this and use logic and reason. And you can gradually, there's room for gradual acceptance. You can grasp the idea, you can mull over it and think about it, and it goes, it's like a sugar-coated pill. You take the pill, it has sugar, and you swallow it, and gradually it goes into action in your body. This is instructing or teaching like a friend, gentle persuasion, gradual convincing through logic and storytelling. But the injunction mode, the instructing like a king, as you just take a big needle, push, come to the guy, put in his arm, push, oh! And it goes right into the bloodstream. There's no problem with digestion or mixing with the foods. It's a straight shot. I got a big sore in your arm. This is the king's way. Temple commanders usually prefer to instruct like this. Then there's a third way of instruction. It's like a lover sweetly attracting you and charming you. Sweetly attracting you and charming you into acting correctly. So the husband doesn't want to do something, and then the wife puts her arm around him and says, come on, you know, it's like and this, that, and you know, this, you know, and he says, yeah, well, okay, maybe you're right. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, the general Puranas besides Srimad Bhagavatam, they instruct like a friend. But Srimad Bhagavatam instructs like a lover. Very, very sweetly. Stories are there, but they're very enchanting. The pastimes of Krishna, they're very sweet and attractive. So this is the third way of instructing someone. The Vedas instruct people in three different ways, like a king issuing royal decrees and injunctions, do or die. So the Vedic literature instructs the reader or the pious person who's interested in Vedic literature in three different ways, like a king, injunctions, do or die, rules, regulations, like a gentle friend, through persuasion, logic, and stories, trying to convince us to act correctly. That's the Puranas. And lastly, like a lover. A lover instructs us or teaches us with charm, enchantment, and really touches our heart. And this is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Purana is instructing like this. Puranas are nice stories, but not like the stories of Srimad Bhagavatam, especially 10th Canto. There's such charm and enchantment there that we can't help but be influenced. Jiva Goswami is mentioning this in relation to Rupa Goswami's teaching here, and he's repeating at the end of this chapter, which we're wrapping up, continuing from last year, about the 64 limbs of devotion. Now he's talking about Srimurti Seva and warning people not to see deities, especially Govindaji, his deity. Because if one sees Govindaji, because there's something special about Govinda, there's so many murtis. The principle that Rupa Goswami is giving and conveying in this Panchanga summary, the first wave of devotion, he's saying, Srimurti Angri Seva, we should serve the lotus feet of Priti Seva, serve the lotus feet of the deity with love, with feelings. And then this is what he's saying. Then to describe that, he's saying, listen, don't go to Keshigat, don't go to Vrindavan, because if you go there, there's a very famous temple near Keshigat. And that's my temple, and my Govindaji. And if you see Govindaji, then you won't want to see anyone else. Because when you see Govindaji, generally we look at someone, we take most interest in their face. Other parts may be attractive or interesting or appealing to our sense of beauty or liking. But if the face is not nice or agreeable, then we may cancel out all the other options of that particular model, particular options that are being presented or displayed, may meet with our disapproval if the face is not satisfactorily sweet or bewitching or both. That's Govindaji. Govindadeva ki jai. He's left Vrindavan, he's gone to Jayapur, and he's captured the hearts of all the whole city of Jayapur. We were just there about 2 weeks ago, a couple of days, yatra. Phenomenal. We've been all over India, seen all the deities that can be seen practically, Vaishnav deities. No one has captured the audience like him. No one is a bigger crowd pleaser, like some performers or musicians or actors. They please the crowd or they please the audience. And people really get their money's worth when they go to performance or to a movie. So the bhakta, the devotee, really gets his money's worth when he goes on a yatra to Jayapur. He really gets filled to the brim with mercy and blessings and beauty and enchantment from seeing Govindaji. It's proven. This history is there. And maybe Bhakti Ratnakar and other scriptures describe how Krishna's great-grandson, Bhadranab, under the order of Shandilya Muni and Bhaguri Rishi and Durvasa that were living here after Krishna's disappearance from this planet, Bhadranab, Krishna's great-grandson, he became the ruler of this district. Parikshit Maharaj, who I believe maybe was his father, I think so, he was ruling in Delhi side, Meerut and all that area. Of course, you know, he left his body there with the Bhagavatam. But Bhadranab was ruling here, and these rishis said that he should do something for his great-grandfather to preserve his memory and his pastimes in Braj. Uncover the Leela Stalis, establish kuns and lakes and murtis and deities to preserve the beautiful memories and pastimes of his great-grandfather, who was Bhagavan himself. So he did. And he installed five devas and, four devas and four devis and four gopals. And remember we gave that class? And the four devis are Brinda Devi and Patala Devi and Manasi Devi and Yogamaya Devi. Four Devi deities that he installed in Braj Mandal. And there some are ones in Mathura, Patala Devi is in Mathura, Manasi Devi is in Govardhan, Brinda Devi is in Kamyavan, Yogamaya Devi is in, next to Govindaji Temple and Govindastali. Then he had four Devs made. He had Gopal Dev, Sakshi Gopal Dev, Govinda Dev, and Keshav Dev and Hari Dev. Hari Dev now is somewhere near Kanpur, Hari Dev. And Keshav Dev, who was originally in Janmastan, Keshav Dev, he's gone somewhere. Baladev is Dalji, he's in Mahavan. And Govinda Dev is in Jaipur. So he made these deities. And four Gopal, Sakshi Gopal, Gopal Nachi, Sakshi Gopal. And remember the other? There's two more. Four Gopals. Gopal Nachi, Sakshi Gopal. Sakshi Gopal is in Puri, near Puri. Gopal Nachi is in Natadwara, in Rajasthan. Two other Gopals, I forgot. It's hard to remember. He was busy. And of course, Shiva Lingas, Gopishwar, Bhutishwar, Nandishwar, Kameshwar, he installed also. He was in the 4-4. Because of directions, four directions of Braj, he would establish these different deities. When he made the deities of Govinda Dev, the deity of Gopinath was there, and Madan Mohan was there. Oh yeah, Madan Gopal. Madan Gopal, Sakshi Gopal, Madan Gopal, Gopal Nachi, and I can't remember the fourth one. I can't remember. Any rate, when there was this Uttara was there. Uttara is the mother of Brikshit, I believe. Uttara. And she had, of course, had seen Krishna, Sakshat Darshan. And Bhadranab hadn't seen, or maybe didn't remember, his very small baby, his great-grandson, Bhadranab. So he called Uttara and he said, listen, I want you to see these deities, Madan Mohan, Gopinath, and Govindaji. So she saw Madan Mohan, and she said, this deity looks exactly like Krishna from his lotus feet to his lotus navel. His tribhangi, his curve of his knees and his legs, he looks just like Madan Gopal, looks just like Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna. And then Gopinath, Uttara saw Gopinath, and Gopinath was perfect, or is perfect, from the lotus navel to the neck. His waist thin like a lion, and broad chest like a doorway, and sapphire, blue sapphire, sapphire doorway, very beautiful. Then she saw Govinda Dev. When she saw Govinda Dev, she took her chunari and she looked down and covered her face out of shyness. So, because a chaste wife is not supposed to look at the face of an outside person. In the house, she can take her chunari off and she can look at her husband or her son or her father or maybe even brother-in-law, maybe I'm not sure, but inside the house. But if she's in the house and some strange person comes in the house and immediately, toom, goes down. When you visit Brijvasis, it's very interesting to see them. Your friend will bring you there and he'll say, oh, so-and-so Swamiji's coming, and then she'll glance and she'll have her head uncovered, and then she'll see you like this, and then she, he's not part of our family. Then, poop, it goes down. Very cute behavior. And they're inside the house, and their face is uncovered, and as soon as they walk out the doorway, it comes down like this. So Uttara saw the face of Govinda Dev, and then she put her chunari, we say veil or whatever, over, covered her face with the end of her cloth or chadar or whatever, scarf, and looked down. And he said, "Why? Oh, Mata, why? What happened? Oh, Govinda Dev is Krishna, Sakshat Krishna, directly." So this is her statement, which is accepted as a type of praman over the last so many thousands of years. This story is written about and described. Therefore, when Govinda Dev ended up in Jayapur, and all the Vaishnavas of Jayapur, the Radha Krishna worshippers, they took his darshan, they fell in love with him so intensely they wouldn't let him go. They would not let him return to Vrindavan. Because our heart moves wherever the greatest love is, that's where our heart wants to stay. Even our body can't resist the force of love. You may have a job somewhere, and you've been transferred overseas, and you're working there and your wife is in India, and after a while your heart is telling you, forget the job. If I can't get relocated, I quit. But the body's there, making money. But the heart is telling, but my wife is there. I tell the boss, you can transfer me to India, otherwise I quit. So the hearts of the Jayapur Vasis are so intensely attached to Govinda Dev, and they come all day and night, three times a day for darshan, and sing songs, and they really have love for him. And they cry, they see him, and so how can he leave? He can't leave. Damodar went to Jayapur and stayed for about 25 years, and he came back to Vrindavan and stayed for 69 years in Jiva Goswami's temple, Damodarji. But he also, the hearts of the Jayapur Vasis were also crying in separation, so Damodar ran back. He went back to Jayapur and didn't come back. They pulled them back by their love. And deities, they're alive. They go wherever they want. Some deity may come into your life because your love is so attractive. And if your love wanes, then you can lose your deities. We hear reports sometimes devotees lose their deities. Suitcase gets stolen. We hear they lose their shalagrams, they lose their deities. There's some deep message there that only that worshipper will understand. Everything's personal. So tomorrow we'll talk about the power of hearing Bhagavatam. By experiencing the sweetness of the Lord's form, Rupa Madhurya, Jiva says, you will consider everything else to be insignificant. Therefore, look at that form of Krishna. This is the intention of the prohibition. Jiva Goswami was asked specifically by Rupa to write the commentary on Nectar Devotion, and he's aptly following him and writing the commentary. Radhe Radhe. So this is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and tomorrow we'll continue by the Lord's grace and discuss Bhagavatam, power of hearing the Bhagavatam.